Rolls, please. We have been going through one verse for the last two Wednesday nights. And if you think back, it's not hard to remember the verse, but I'll let you turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And we've been going through this with the idea of revival meetings coming. And plus, it's just a good thing for us to get our hearts searched. And let's read that together two times. I'm going to have us stay seated, but let's try to not race ahead or lag behind. Stay with the group. Let's say the reference first, and then we'll say it together. You ready? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. One more time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have already gone through the first half of the verse pretty much. It says the word if, just a quick review. This is something we can choose to do if we want revival and healing from God when it seems like my life's falling apart. It must be God is not able to bless me. In this case, Israel, when your land's not producing, the locusts are coming, the drought's happening, and you wake up and you say, you know what? I think maybe I haven't talked to the right source here. He says, if you will make this decision to turn to God. And it's amazing. I think back over and over again when I've been thinking of this to the book of Revelation, where all the things that God is doing in the end times to deal with the sin of the world, and the people just, it doesn't occur to them to ever really repent. Instead, they just get madder and madder at God and blame him. You know, we can't blame God if things are not going right in our life. God wants to bless his people. God really does want us to be at rest. I just finished up going through the book of Joshua, and after they've conquered the land, and of course that's a picture of a Christian moving into all the what God wants for them, it says, and after they fought the battles, God gave them rest and peace. That's what God wants us to be at. He wants America to be at rest and peace. He wants your family to be at rest and peace. He wants this church to be at rest and peace. But you know, the book of James says that it's our own lust and our own sin that causes the strife and discord that comes into our lives, and until we turn from that. So if my people, which are called by my name, America's great need is, of course, evangelism for the lost to get saved. But right now, it's God's people to just be straight with him. If my people, which are called by my name, it's his testimony. It's about God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and that's what it takes. It takes me to realize I'm not where I need to be. And I am willing to bow myself down and admit that God is everything, and in reality, I am nothing without him. John chapter 15, he is the vine, we are the, we can do nothing except we abide in him. And if we abide in him, we will bring forth fruit. There's no other way. So if we'll humble ourselves to realize he's the vine, not us. He is the source, not us. So if we humble ourselves, the Bible says, and to pray. And as we pray to God, he says, seek my face. And last week, do you remember me reading out of the book of Daniel chapter 9? How there was the people, there needed to be repentance in that land. But Daniel, he got on his face before God, and he was seeking God. He was begging God. He was beseeching God. He was searching for the face of God. And he took the sins of the world personal, the sins of Israel as if they were his. And indeed, I'm sure Daniel is like anybody else. He has human flesh that he probably had to deal with in his life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Tonight we're going to deal with the next part of that phrase, of that first half of the verse. And turn from their wicked ways. When we think of that word turn, just looked it up in the Hebrew definitions. It turned to turn back, to retreat from a position, to cease doing what you're doing, to be converted, to be delivered, to deny something, to draw back, get oneself back again. This is all the idea of turning from. And then right in the middle of all the definitions, it said repent. That's really what we're talking about when we're talking about turning. Repentance. If there is a problem with what is being preached in many modern churches, it's a repentantless salvation to begin with. That is called a social gospel. Oh, God's good, I want to be good, Jesus is fine, but there's no admitting of sin if my people will repent. They'll turn from their wicked way. That is a decision to not stay where I have been in my sin, but I am going to let go of my sin and trust in God. I'm going to turn from my wicked ways, and I'm going to go in God's direction. So there's a definite turning. You notice he says, turn from my wicked ways. Wicked ways here is things that are bad, evil, displeasing, exceedingly grievous, wretched, wrong, vexing to God. Those are all pretty harsh words. Could I read those again to you? These things in my life, they're bad, they're evil, they're displeasing, they're exceedingly grievous, wretched, wrong, and vexing to God. Just think how God thinks when he looks at his children and he's grieved with our wicked ways. He says, turn from that. Get that out of your life. We know we have a holy God. Amen? And the fear of God, to understand who he is, the respect for God and his holiness should cause us to realize how this grieves God when we sin. Consciously allowing it to stay in our life, even after he has graciously pointed it out to us and brought it to our attention, and even has chastised us with some different things that maybe we don't understand what's going on. God, okay, Lord, I need to turn from this wicked way. He's got my attention. But do we really turn at that point? Then he promises in this verse, he says, if we will do that, then he will hear. He will hear from heaven. The idea of hear is just simply this. He'll choose to give us his ear. He'll choose to give us his ear. I could go on with lots of illustrations. But God, of course, can answer prayer. He wants to answer prayer of his children. But he said, when our ways displease him, then his ears are stopped to our prayers. I wonder how many prayers, even in churches that are good like ours, on a Wednesday night, we're here praying, we know Christ is our Savior, we believe the Bible, we believe he's a holy God, but I wonder how many prayers are not going to be heard tonight because there's such wickedness in the midst of God's people that God has said, I'm not listening. Wow. I think of over when the Lord Jesus gave us the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he says at the very end of them, one of the most wicked things is when we choose to not forgive people. Another place and list in the book of Proverbs, and he says, and besides all this, discord among the brethren. When we have these kind of things, and he brings it to our attention, we need to turn from it. And then he says, when you deal with it, then I will turn, as it were, my face and my ears to your prayers. And I will hear. I will give attention to those things. And he says, I will hear and I will forgive. The word forgive there is just a really short definition. It just means he will pardon us and spare us from what we deserve. God will choose to hear us and he will take it off the books. He'll forgive it. He'll spare us from what we should give. And then he says, I will heal the land. Of course, in this case, healing the land was not producing or whatever it was, then I will put things straight. I will heal the land. The word heal there means to cure, to repair, to thoroughly make something whole and usable again. I will heal the land. And you know, God can heal our lives, can he? Sometimes we get to a point with sin in our lives and we think we're just about unusable. But God can heal the broken and the sinner and those that have wandered away. But it takes a turning. It takes a repentance. It takes a person that seeks God's face. Tonight, I want to park for the next few moments on this idea of turn. Turn from your wicked ways. Let's look up some scripture verses tonight. And I'd like you to flip with me. Known and unknown verses to us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Thinking of the idea that we're commanded to turn. We're commanded to turn. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be, what's the word there? Transformed. God wants us to be changed, doesn't he? We're not supposed to be the same people we were before we're saved, but now we need to let God take us and make us a new creature. He says, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's getting in the scripture and letting the word of God change my thinking about a lot of things, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Turn the book, please, of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah, as I was studying it out, there are a lot of verses. Israel's in sin. And the word turn is all the way through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is saying, you need to turn, Israel. Turn, Israel. God's going to deal with you. Turn, Israel. And so in Isaiah 55, I want you to see here, look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. What does forsake have the idea thereof? Don't go that way anymore. Make a change. I'm not going to have business as usual with my sin. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Doesn't that add another layer on there? Jesus in the New Testament said, it isn't just the action outwardly. If you've even thought it in your heart, you've done it. And boy, if you've committed adultery in your heart. Boy. You talk about a lot of things all the way from looking at people and having thoughts to pornography. The Bible says that we need to repent. And he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. See, that word return has the word turn in it, doesn't it? Get back to where you were. Do you remember when you were first saved and sin was straightened out in your life and you said, praise God, I feel clean and close and ready to work with God. But then things in the old flesh and sin, as it were, came in our life. The Bible says return. In the book of Revelation, he says, you've lost your first love. You need to return. He goes back and he says, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There has to be an action on our side. What we're talking about tonight is often that dynamic trigger that starts revival. Can I say that again? What we're talking about tonight is that dynamic trigger that often starts revival. When people start dealing with their sin. We just pretend we don't have it. We just choose not to deal with it. We just box it down in here and try to go on. We go to church and try to go on with everything else. But revival has a way when God works on hearts, and often through a man like an evangelist or somebody, he's preaching the word, renewing our minds, like Romans chapter 12, right? And as we get renewed in our mind and reminded, and God says, return. He said, I'll have mercy. And this begins, and one person gets released from the sin, another person. And often, it'll just be like a snowball as the altar begins to fill up. I've read about revivals in the early 1900s in America. Can you Can you imagine if I got up and announced to you we're going to have 8 weeks of revival? Come on, just sigh a little bit. Okay. 8 weeks of revival. But do you know often for the first 2-3 weeks, they just preached like the fire and didn't even give an invitation until partway into those weeks. And when they did, they were getting the hearts of people ready. And it was the last 4 weeks when God, the breaking came forward, as they were renewing the hearts of the people and the minds. And then on the tailcoat of the people with a renewed heart and a straightened out and clean, then you had evangelism. God can use clean vessels. He can pour himself out upon that revival. So turn from your wicked ways. It's really quite an important thing. We know 1 John 1:9. We don't have to turn there, do we? Can we say it together? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for a faithful God. God doesn't say, if you turn from your sin and repent and come to me, I'll think about it. If my people will do this. If we confess, he's faithful and just and he'll show mercy. Aren't you glad? God is willing. God is ready. He's waiting on his people to meet him at the altar and get things right. And you know, people, 1 John chapter 1 says, if a man says he has no sins, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Read it, 1 John chapter 1. The Lord says that he knows our frame, how we're put together, that we are. And God understands the battle that we have. But God also looks at the heart. And as God would diagnose it, would he see a heart that's perfect with him? And that doesn't mean you never sin, but it's in tune with him. And responding and repenting and turning and being in sympathy with God? Or is there a pushing back or a, we want God to open his ears, but have we closed ours? If we will open our ears and respond, God says, I'll open my ears and respond. Ezekiel, let's turn there, please. Ezekiel. Once again, these verses talk about Israel not doing what they should, but if they will turn. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way. Where does God really have his pleasure? When we turn. Does God enjoy punishing his people? No. Turn from his way and live. And then you find a plea. It's almost like the heart of God. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Can you hear the heart of God? I have no pleasure. It's like the old expression, dad giving his child a whooping. He says, this hurts me, son, more than it does you. And you say, yeah, right. That's pretty much what God's saying. I have no pleasure in this punishment. I have no pleasure in your land being all stirred up and you not be at peace and there's war and conflict and unsettledness. I have no pleasure in that. I have no pleasure in not hearing you. But I have great pleasure when you turn. When you soften yourself up. Parents, have you ever had to discipline a child that got harder and harder for a little while? You know, I'm talking about the battle of the will was going on. Come on. Here. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you see that will just open up and break? And you get all done the crying and you get all hugging and you got this sweet little angel again for about 5 minutes. You know what I'm talking about? They're just back. You say, praise God, we can go have fun and fool around. But boy, when they're being stubborn, you just want to, I don't want to have to, why are you going to do this? You could go one with illustrations about that. Turn ye, turn ye. The book of Lamentations. Let's turn there, Lamentations chapter 3. Look at verse 4T. Lamentations 3, verse 40. Let us search and try our ways. And what's it say? Turn again to the Lord. What's the process? Let us search and try. That would be like test, you know, lay up my way of living. Let's take our ways and lay it up against what God says is right. And then not try to change God. We turn, repent. Can I ask you a question? We've got a little bit more to go on the message. But are you ready? Are you willing? Would you tonight say, Lord, there is nothing off the table you can't have? That's a pretty wild. But that's where revival starts. Nothing between Lord and the Savior. Isn't that what the song says? Nothing between. And Christians, the truth is often there's much between. And it's not a secret, like I didn't realize, Lord, what's between? I don't know what's between. We know what it's between us. You ever have a little tiff with your husband or wife? I know you don't. So. Until somebody finally you deal with it. Isn't it sweet when it's gone? It's just renewed. That's what the Lord's our groom. We're his bride. Nothing between. And I tell you, the only thing that keeps a person from making something right with somebody else is stinking old pride. That's it. It deals with it. Search ye. Try my ways and turn ye. 1 Corinthians, we know, 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will make a way to. There's a way to deal with it. There's nothing in your life that God can't help you work your way through. The only person that would have you think otherwise is the devil. No. You and God that can't be. God sticks his hand out and he waits for us. Proverbs 8:28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that forsaketh receiveth mercy. That's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. This is the way of Christ. Take all that knowledge. I want to synthesize it with some statements. Just, here's some thoughts for us. Search me, oh God. If there's anything that you could do in this week and a half before revival, it's not this. I'm not talking about we just go search and search and I can find something. But just be honest with God and get everything out of the way. Search me. Communion supper. We get together, Lord, search my heart. If there's anything, show me. And then partake. You know, I've said this at communion over and over again. God doesn't want people not to take the Lord's Supper. He wants them to say, I've come with dirty heart and hands, clean it up, and then go ahead and take. God wants to bless his people if we will turn. God knows us and he knows right down where our battle is and he wants to help us do it. King David, in his dirty, rotten sin of adultery with Bathsheba and then the murder of her husband, and yet when pointed out, he repented. And somehow after that whole situation, God still could say about David, he was a man after my own heart. I've preached on this before. That is some of the most amazing material in the Bible. God wants to have a perfect relationship. And then there's much that can be done. James says in chapter 1 or 2, he says, faith without works is dead. Could I say to you in a similar thought to us tonight, to talk about our sin and we should do with it without any action is just a farce. You're just lying to yourself. When we don't get honest with God and say, where's the blessing? Where are people getting saved? Why is America having it? Well, start with me. Judgment starts at the house of God. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that very action is what? Is sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 calls out with these words, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the heart of God. Turn ye from your sin. I was thinking of the song that is often used at the end of a church service. Would you turn, please, to page 325? Often in revival meetings and pastors preaching, 325. Listen to these words with the idea of turning. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Is God waiting? No. Why should we, what's the next word? Tarry. What does tarry mean? Just sort of, we're hesitating, aren't we? Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Time now is fleeting. The moments are passing from you and me. Shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming for you and for me. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Jesus is calling. Calling. Oh, sinner, come home. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear. I will heal. And I will forgive. This is a wonderful verse, isn't it? A lot that we could go into tonight. I was looking up the song Tend Softly and Tenderly and how that song is so strong. Evangelist D.L. Moody, when he was dying, had the author of that song come to visit him. His name was Mr. Thompson. And as he was talking to Mr. Moody said, you know, I would give up all the preaching I've ever preached to have written that song. It expresses the heart of God. Softly and tenderly. Jesus is talking. God doesn't force us, does he? But then whip, bang, slam. Ox goad, cattle prod, lasso around the neck and drag us to the altar. He calls us tenderly. We've all heard the messages. It's the stillness. And tonight, if God's dealing in your heart and you dissuade that, trying to extend his mercy and his pardon. Heavenly Father, may you work in our hearts as a congregation, as individuals. Draw us away from our wickedness, our wandering, our disobedience, all these things, our sin. And help us to turn to you in every last word. In Jesus. With our heads bowed.